out this morning. Everybody's still believing, right? I wrote it down on my calendar the day that God spoke that to me, and I come to church. And for everybody that started believing on that day, we have been just over 7 weeks believing. I thought, well, seems longer than that in one way, and another way it don't seem like it's been that long. So anyway, that's good. Y'all staying well watered? All right, good. If you got your Bible, let's look at Luke 8. And for time's sake, we're not going to go back and read this whole thing like what we've been doing. I mean, we've read that and read that and read that. So we're going to read verse 14. It says, "And that which fell among thorns are they, which when they have heard, go forth and are choked with cares and riches and pleasures of this life, and bring no fruit to perfection." The Amplified says, "And as for what fell among the thorns, these are the people who hear, but as they go on their way," in other words, life goes on, "they are choked and suffocated with the anxieties and cares and riches and pleasures of life, and their fruit does not ripen." It does not come to maturity and perfection. Now, look at Mark 4. Verses 18 and 19. "And these are they which are sown among thorns, such as hear the word, and the cares of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches, and the lust of other things entering in, choke the word, and it becometh unfruitful." The Amplified Bible says, "And the ones sown among the thorns are others who hear the word, then the cares and anxieties of the world." Matthew 6 says we're not supposed to seek things that the world seeks, right? That actually was even in the last song that God gave us. Y'all remember? First things first. He says, where to get to? "Of the world and distractions of the age and the pleasure and delight and false glamour and deceitfulness of riches and the craving and passionate desire for other things creep in and choke and suffocate the word and it becomes fruitless." Now go over to 1 John 2. Verse 15, I'm going to read this whole thing in the Amplified. He says, "Do not love or cherish," that's in our song too, remember? He says, "Do not love or cherish the world or the things that are in the world. If anyone loves the world, love for the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust," which is strong desire, he says, "the lust of the flesh." It says craving for sensual gratification. I mean, that could be a brownie. Y'all not saying nothing. That could be a Facebook. That could be a marketplace. I mean, that could be anything. You can have a sensual gratification for anything. He says, "And the lust of the eyes, which is greedy longings of the mind, and the pride of life, assurance in one's own resources, are in the stability of earthly things." How many knows there's no stability in earthly things here? None whatsoever. Anything, you can have a house sitting here today, go home, and it's burned up. I mean, nothing here. You know, and a lot of people, you know, they put their trust in the banks. And that's, and I don't put your trust there. I don't keep my money in a bank. Why? I can handle my own money better than anybody else. Why? It's mine. I know what I want to do with it. I know where I want it. Now, Scotty keeps a lot of his in the bank, and that's fine. But how many knows there's already been, just recently, two banks that have went under. And do you realize if they don't want to or say they can't, that you can't make them give you your money? I know they're covered insurance, but do you understand that stuff's of the world, and if all that fails, all you got goes with it. Y'all not hear what I'm saying? It goes with it. So if you're trusting in that kind of stuff, you got your trust in the wrong place. Anything earthly here is subject to change at any time. He says, "Or in the stability of earthly things," he says, "these do not come from the Father, but are from the world itself. And the world passes away and disappears, and with it the forbidden cravings, the passionate desires, the lust of it. But he who does the will of God and carries out his purposes in his life abides, remains forever." Let's look at 1 Timothy 6. Now, I know we read these last week, but that's okay. We're going to read them again. And then I got some more added to it. 1 Timothy 6, verse 3, where we're going to start in this one. I know I got it wrote down different, Beth. Sorry. I thought that didn't look right. That's three. I need six. He says, if any man teach otherwise, talking about the things he was teaching before this, and for time's sake, you can go back and read the whole thing. I ain't got time. He says, and consent not to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, unto the doctrine which is according to godliness. He is proud, knowing nothing, but doting about questions and strifes of words, whereof cometh envy, strife, railings, evil surmisings, perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds, and destitute of the truth, supposing that gain is godliness. From such withdraw thyself. He says, but godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us therefore with be content. Now that don't mean don't ever want something different or something more. But it's got to do with what we just got through it, that craving, that strong desire. How many knows we can't crave or have a strong desire for anything or anybody greater than what we do God. He has to be first. And then everything else has its place. He goes on here and he says, but godliness with contentment is great gain, for we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us therewith be content. But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. Now verse 9 in the Amplified, it says, but those who crave. The word crave, I think I looked it up. Let me see. Craving, it says an intense longing or desire. Some people have an intense longing or desire to be rich. Now see, we're talking about, we read over there in two different places, it says the deceitfulness of riches. See, they can deceive you into thinking, I'll be okay when I have this. Or my life will be good when I have this amount of money. See, some people think it's only rich people that think about money all the time, but let me tell you, poor people can think about money all the time. Like a drug addict, you just wake up every morning trying to figure out, where am I going to get the money to pay this bill? Where am I going to get the money to take care of this? Nothing wrong with money, but how many knows you can think about money too much? Whether you got it or whether you don't got it. That's not what makes the difference. The difference is made by you and what you do. There's other people, they've got money. Nothing wrong with that. But they think about money too much. And maybe not the way you think about it that I'm talking about it. Some people, I know when we first started this church, there was some people here. Because I have always pretty much been the one that goes and gets the toilet paper and all that other kind of stuff, you know, and brings it here and all that. And the secretary and all of that. They begin to tell me, you know, well, if Bargaintown was still in Oneonta. That's how long this has been. You can get so-and-so at Bargaintown for such-and-such price, and you can get this over here for such-and-such price, and over here, how many knows you can spend gallons of gas to drive to Abbotville or somewhere else to fill up because you're saving 5 cents on a gallon. Nothing wrong with saving. Nothing wrong. I'm not saying that. You got to understand what I'm telling you. But how many knows this just thinking about it? Oh, and lo and behold, if you ever spend more money on something and find it on sale somewhere else, how does that bother you? Does it bother you? A lot of people it does. They lose sleep because they spent $50 too much. Y'all not saying nothing. See, why are we talking about this? Because it is in the thorny ground. See, you might think, I don't have a problem with money. Well, you might think differently when we get done. And hopefully you won't. If you don't, that's good. Stay right there where you are. Because things are coming at you and the enemy's coming at you to get you over into these cares and these anxieties and these deceitfulness of riches and all these things. Why? To stop your fruit so you don't bear fruit and glorify God. But I mean, there's people that they'll spend... I don't know how much, $5 more, because they think they're saving 5 cents a gallon. When you add it all up, they really didn't save anything. Now, I don't know about y'all, and I don't care what y'all do. Listen, like last week, we got a little funny, a little carried away, you know, and it's not my job to tell you how many screwdrivers you should have, Monty. Now, I have my own opinion about that, but I keep that to myself. It's not my job to tell you how many blankets you should have or how many butter bowls. That's not my job. My job is to come here, bring what God says, and then the Holy Ghost is going to determine and convict or convince you of how many of something you need to have or if you even need to have it at all. That's not my job. That's what He does. But I'm the one that has to bring it up. But they save this money, you know, they think they are. And like them people tell me, you know, well, you could get this over here for cheaper. Listen, honey, I ain't got time to do that. I don't care. I try to be as best as I can with God's money saving and different things like that stuff, but I ain't got time. I'm not going to go to six different places to save a nickel unless the Lord tells me to. Now, if He tells me to, I got to, or I'm going to, but He doesn't. But there's people that they do that, but not even realizing how valuable is your time. Like Scotty, for an example, his time is very valuable. One of the reasons being he's got a lot to do for God and all this other stuff, owns his own business. It is almost unlimited at times how much money he can make an hour. Now, not because he's all that smart, it's just because that's what God's doing and he's that good. So some things he would be better off to pay somebody to do. Y'all not say nothing. There's other things he would be better off just to do it himself. So see, this stuff is not a formula. That's how come you can't just give you five steps to prosperity or different things. Why? Because you got to always factor in the leading of the Holy Ghost. That's why it can never be a formula, because He's not a formula. And He leads us and He guides us. But we can think too much about things. We can think too much about money. Our minds and our hearts, the Bible says, should be stayed on the Lord. And then He'll keep us in perfect peace. Right, we talked about if our peace starts getting disturbed in some way or whatever, let it go. This has been a week of, now I've had this before, but this has been a week and I hadn't had one this bad in a while. All week long, I have had to say, I don't care about that. I don't care. I don't care what they say. I don't care what they do. I hear Beth say it more than I hear anybody. She'll say, with them kids, she'll say, I pick my battles. Well, see, I'm one used to, I pick every battle, and we're going to fight every battle, and I'm going to win. When Travis lived at home, it's going to go this way, or it ain't going to go. I have learned better. That stuff keeps you upset all the time over the smallest, minutest little things. So all this week, I've had to say, I don't care. Because, see, cares is one of the things, and a lot of times people think that's just like fear or worry. But it's not. We put the pool up the other day. Ooh, the Joeys. See, I didn't put this pool up for me. I've not had a pool in probably, 13 to 15 years? Have no desire for one. Don't care nothing about getting in one, nothing. I put this pool up for these kids and y'all. We're fixing to build my pavilion. I'm making this pavilion not for me. I'm making it for my family and y'all. Why? Because there's something about when you get older and you get close to the Lord, if you're going the right, things don't mean as much to you as what they used to. It's God and it's family. It's not things and stuff like that. And I thought, and I told the kids, I said, okay. I said, listen, like today, I said, which was yesterday, I said, tomorrow, I go to church, I come home, I eat my lunch, I talk to my brother, and I take my nap. Don't come out here. I'm not getting in no poop. I'm not watching you. I'm picking my battle. Now, this is my pool. I'm doing it for them. Have you ever invited somebody over to your house and then wished you hadn't? What you laughing for, Johnny? I never would have thought Johnny would have laughed on that one. Yeah. Why? Because then you got to spend all day cleaning the house. Then you got to entertain. And then when they get through messing and they leave, you got to spend all night cleaning the house and griping about everything that they done. Wrong. If you're going to gripe about it, don't invite them. Because, see, that's a care. It's not worry. It's not fear. It's a care. Just like this swimming pool. I thought about it. I thought, okay, if I'm not to the place on the inside that I can have this pool and lay down rules and things the way things are going to be, if it's going to become a cure to me, if it's going to start causing me aggravation and stuff, and if I'm not at the place spiritually to handle it, I'll take my little tractor and we'll be done with it. Why? I cannot afford to allow anything to get in there. Because thorny ground, the devil keeps throwing things and throwing. Why? Because all he wants is a seed to get in and start growing. That's all he's got to do. So I can't afford to let it. So here, the tears and the waterworks started yesterday evening. They got in the pool, then they got out, finally got warmed up because it was freezing cold, and then wanted back in. And I said, no, I'm not going to the pool. I'm not going to watch old, not going back to the pool. Now, if you want to ask your mom and daddy, can y'all get in it? Don't think this is just my story. Some people, listen, addiction is addiction is addiction. I don't care if it's meth, if it's alcohol, if it's cigarettes, an addiction is an addiction. A pleasure is a pleasure is a pleasure is a pleasure. See, some people think, well, I need somebody, you know, that can identify with me. No, you don't. Why? Because it doesn't matter if I'm addicted to cigarettes or alcohol or meth or whatever, and you're addicted to something, the same is the same. Jesus was never any of these things, but yet he can minister to everybody. So I'm learning, Sandy. Putting this pool up. The joys. Aubrey, now I'm not mad or anything, but I'm serious. And I'm hot. And I'm sweating. And I don't like hot and sweating, but I do it when I need to. To say it's real cozy and comfy on the couch in the air conditioner watching TV. But anyway, we're out there, we're doing all that, you know, and Travis and Beth, they come, you know, and all that, and the kids are out there, and Aubrey says, talking about me and Scotty, she said, Grandma, are y'all fighting? I said, what? She said, are y'all fighting? I said, no, Aubrey, we're not fighting. If I was fighting, I'd be knocking somebody out. I said, no, we're not fighting. Why you ask me that? Well, the way y'all were talking, it sounded like y'all was fighting. We wasn't. We could have been. Because if I said something that Scotty didn't like or a way he didn't like or whatever, if he doesn't just let it go, there's a problem. If vice versa, if he says or does something I don't like, why? We're in the heat of the moment. This is our life. It's just going on like he says there. As they go, life goes every day, no matter what it is. You know? So during that whole time, every one of us probably out there had to pick your battle. You're just going to let that go, or you're going to take the cure of it. Well, he's going to do something else, you know, and this, that, and another. And I thought about, so I had this thought, and then I thought, I don't care. And so I said out loud, I don't care. I don't care what he does. I don't care what he says. I don't care what he thinks. Y'all not saying nothing. I know some of y'all in this house are married, and y'all not saying nothing. Whatever he wants to do, unless the Lord tells him, I can't care what he does. Y'all not saying nothing. See, sometimes us women, since I am one, I can just speak for me. I don't know. I'm not a man. Sometimes some of us women, we want a man. We want a real man. But we want that man to do what we tell him to do. When we tell him to do it and how we tell him to do it. Y'all not saying that. I didn't get one amen on that. Beth, did you even say amen? You did? Oh, she said amen. So y'all not saying nothing. See, it's these little things that are in our lives every day that this thorny ground, because they should have had it, that becomes the problem. Because these are the things that are day after day after day. Sometimes Scotty will tell me, say, I don't need a mama. I said, I'm not trying to be your mama. I don't want to be your mama. I don't care. But then he'll say, I don't need a mama. But then when he needs some clothes out, where's my clothes at? I ain't your mama. Get them yourself. Y'all not saying nothing. This is not going nothing like what I thought it was going to. But see, it's those little things. So I thought all this week, I thought, okay, I'm going to pick my battle. I'm not going to care about nothing unless it's something I need to care about, to say something about, or something like everything else, I'm just going to let it go. Because I'm telling you, all this week, we could have had a knockdown drag out every single day over something. which is nothing. Sandy, did you get over Robert spitting on this mirror? His toothpaste. Y'all remember the story I told y'all about Scotty's clothes in the kitchen floor? Every day, soon as that man comes in the door, them clothes get in the kitchen floor. When I quit caring, what I mean by that, caring, when I quit, because I would pick up them clothes and I'd mumble, I tell you right now, I don't understand this. Why you got to put these clothes in the floor every time? I'm taking a care. It's causing me a problem. So when I quit doing that and just started picking up the clothes, not saying nothing, and putting them in the... He stopped doing that a long time ago, Sandy. Must have been what you did. Quit caring about that toothpaste on there. Just wipe it off or leave it. Can you leave it? I can leave it. I can leave it all. Especially right now. I am really getting into this not caring. I am not going to take the care of nothing that I'm not supposed to. Y'all understand what I'm saying? I got responsibilities and things, so I have to take care of that and stuff like that. But far as taking on a care about other people, their stuff, what they do, I don't care. Why? Because this thing is not going to get me. Now, where was we at? Y'all remember? I see we're in Timothy. I don't remember how far we got. Let's see. Therewith be content. Oh, yeah. He says, but they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. The Amplified says, but those who crave. It's not about being rich. That's not the problem. It's the craving to be rich. He says, fall into temptation and a snare and into many foolish, useless, godless, and hurtful desires that plunge men into ruin and destruction and miserable perishing. For the love of money is a root of all evils. It is through this craving, that's the problem, not the money, that some have been led astray. Remember the deceitfulness of riches? He's saying here they're being led astray. Why? Because they got a strong craving to be rich. He says, have been led astray and have wandered from the faith. Money tells you, you don't got to believe God. Just do it. Just go get it. Just sign your name on the dotted line with 600 easy payments. Y'all didn't say nothing. That's what it says, though. That's what money says. You don't need God. You don't need to believe God. Don't even ask God about it. It doesn't matter. He goes on and he says, from the faith and pierce themselves. The devil didn't even do it. Pierce themselves through, he says, with many acute mental pains. Goes right back over there to thorny ground. What did he say? Worries, anxieties, cares, all this stuff. See, a lot of people, here we go, they don't have to work. The husband and wife doesn't have to work. A lot of people, now I didn't say everybody. There's some that the husband and wife work, they're good stewards, they're saving, they're trusting God, and they just barely make it. But a lot of people in the United States, they don't. The mom and dad don't have to work if there's a mom and dad in the home. A lot of times, you know why they do it? I don't know. It's the same reason everybody wants to come over here, because it's called the American dream. What is the American dream? Y'all know? 2 kids, a couple of nice luxury cars, a fast bass boat. We live in Alabama. We can't say yacht. We need a bass boat here. You know, we live in Florida. It might be a yacht. We take a cruise or something for the ocean. But here in Alabama, a fast bass boat. And a house that we can just fill up with all kinds of stuff that makes us feel good. And you know what? Nothing wrong with all that stuff. But then what they do is they'll take their kids, because the mom's got to work, so she can't take care of the kids. The dad's got to work. Why? Because we got to pay for all this stuff that makes us feel good. Y'all not saying nothing. Got to pay for all this stuff that makes us feel good. Pleasure. See, pleasure ain't just skipping church and running off to the lake. That's not all pleasure is. I get pleasure out of watching TV. That's about the only thing I get pleasure out of. That's my hobby, is watching TV. But I'm not going to watch so much TV to where it comes in here and it chokes this word out of me. It's just not going to happen. So what do we need to do? Well, what they do is they take their kids, and they ain't got nobody that's saved that has the same values they got. Now you've got ungodly people raising and placing your values, I mean their values, into your kids, and y'all ain't saying nothing. Now, I didn't say that's everybody. Y'all get what I'm saying, right? Why do they do it? Because they want stuff. They need stuff. Y'all remember the story about the big red Dodge I had? Y'all remember that? And I went and I traded that baby in, and I even paid them to let me do it. It cost me money to do that. And I got me a four-door Buick Century that had 33,000 miles on it. Now when I'm going down the road in my big red truck and I'm stopped at the red light, my mirrors, I got a Rockford Fosgate amp, and I got Audiobon speakers in the back and got my stereo, and I'm sitting at the red light and my mirrors are going with the beat. And if I armor all my seats because they're leather, you go. We are kicking, boy. And then you look over at the red light. What's up? Scotty put me some pipes on there. They're called Texas Tips. Woo! See, these little whatnot stuff, that's not my thing. I cannot stand a bunch of stuff in the house. I can't even be comfortable. It's just like, I'm just crowded in here. But other stuff. Well, see, you can get all that, and you can act snooty. You can act like you're something that you're not. You can act like you're somebody. But how many knows if you take the stuff away, it's just you. And you are whatever you are. But then you're sacrificing the raising of your kids. Some people are sacrificing the raising of their kids for stuff. And they don't even know it. They are tricked into thinking, I'm going to give my kids a better life. My kids are not going to have to grow up the way that I did. That's what's wrong with a lot of them today. I didn't say all of them, but that's exactly what's wrong with a lot of them today. And all they do is they won't, and they won't, and they won't. They're like the horse leech's daughters. Horse leech had two daughters, Proverbs said. And both of them cry, give me, give me, give me. Now, Travis is only kidding, but he tells me sometimes, you know, when he wants something or wants me to do something for him or give him something other. Well, it's my fault. Your fault I'm here. Well, you know what? It can be my fault you're not. That's just the way I feel about that. I don't owe you nothing. Y'all not hear what I'm saying. I don't owe you nothing. You don't owe your grown kids nothing. The Bible says, owe no man anything except to love him. And some of us have got our love so messed up. Love is not a feeling. It can have a feeling. The Bible says in 1 John 4:8 that God is love. God's the one got it right. He will tear your tail up in a second. I don't mean break your leg or not like that, but I mean you leave that shopping buggy out there at Walmart in the aisle or something, he'll be all over you like white on rice. You know why? He loves you, and he loves that lost person's car that loves them, that their car is sitting next to you, and your buggy's going to hit. He loves them just the same. It's not this emotional feeling. See, some of us, we have just ruined our kids. Why? I don't know how to do nothing. I can't even boil water. 16, 17-year-old girl don't even know how to make a thing of macaroni and cheese. Something wrong with that. And I'm not trying to, y'all understand what I'm saying, right? There has to be a balance to everything. Then on the other side, there is some parents that they have just drove their kids in the ground. Y'all know what I'm saying? Never let them be kids. So, I mean, there is a balance to everything. And this, just like Scotty, you know, Travis taking over this business one day and everything. And Scotty has trained him, you know, to do the way that he does or whatever. And one of the things that he does every now and he used to do it more, is say they're supposed to go on a job for, I don't know, check an eye or something, other service or something like that. And Scotty knows this person is real crabby. Cuss you out. Ain't never satisfied no matter what you do for him. He'll send him. You know why? He needs it. So that's why I told Mac, been missing you Wednesday. And maybe he'll get here in time to be at service. That you don't need to, why? He don't need to be up there with them elderly women telling him how good he looks all the time and how luscious he is and all this other stuff. And your words are just wonderful coming to us. Why? Because you ain't all that in a bag of chips. Get in a box with some more bubs and you'll see you're not the brightest one in the box. Now, I'm not saying that just, I'm saying that for all of us. You get what I'm telling you? That's the reason why he sends him on to them. Why? He's got to learn. Scotty had to do it. Travis has to do it. But a lot of us, we want to save our kids the hardship. But it is the hardship, baby, a lot of your lives that made you who and what you are and what you got. To with a point where a lot of the younger generation, they can't take nothing. If you talk to them in a way that is not please and thank you and all this, and you just tell them, to, oh, God forbid. How dare you? I guarantee you. they ain't much you can say to Travis to hurt his feelings. Why? I'm his mama. And I talk to him way worse than I talk to y'all. Now, I'm not talking about cussing him out ugly or nothing. But if he wants to know something, he comes and sits on my back porch. Now, he don't like it. Beth's laughing. And he'll go home and tell Beth, I can't talk to Mom right now. Come back in a week or two later and tell me how he's going to do so-and-so like it was his idea. Y'all not saying nothing. My grandkids, I tell them just straight up, just the way it is. Now, am I good to them? Do I take care of them? Do I buy? Sure I do. But at the same time, I understand what God is saying, just like us. God doesn't have a problem with us having the stuff. Not at all. God doesn't have a problem with us having money. He takes pleasure in the prosperity of his saints, just like your kids, that they have enough. They have enough food to eat and clothes and all this other stuff. But it is the overuse. And I got a scripture that says just that. Overuse of this world's stuff that is a problem. Let's see if we can finish this here. Y'all just, I hadn't even thought about that this morning. See what we get to. 11. He says, but thou, O man of God. So we know who he's talking to. Flee these things. Flee what things? Everything he just got through talking about. The love of money, the craving and passionate craving for stuff. He says, but thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness, fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. Skip down to verse 17 for time's sake, as we read this whole thing last week. Verse 17, he says, charge them that are rich in this world. I read the scripture every day. And when I read it, I say, that's me. He's talking to me. Why? I consider myself to be the rich. Why? The Bible says I am. God wants me to be rich. He doesn't want me loving money. Y'all hear me? The love of money is the root of all evil, we just read. But he says, charge them that are rich, or in other words, command them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded. This is a big problem. I told y'all last week, I talked about why I don't get a new car and all that. Another reason why, unless the Lord just tells me to, I don't buy something new. I'm satisfied with what I got, number one, but y'all know my story about my little yellow Camaro. Another reason why I don't buy it, because Scotty will have to get in it. I'm serious. That man is a walking mess. And I'm not saying that. Did y'all see his breakfast yesterday when he came to men's meeting? Did y'all see it right here? You weren't paying attention, Johnny. I seen it before he left. And I tried to get him to change his shirt, but he just wouldn't do it. The man, he cannot eat without he spills something somewhere, you know. And God forbid we go to Taco Bell and eat in the car. I would have a come apart. See, I'm better in that area than I used to be, but I know I'm not there yet. See, nothing wrong with having nice things, taking care of your nice things. I remember I heard Keith tell a story one time. First, he's in a nice sports car, and first one God ever gave him. He said, I'm out there, I'm washing it, and I'm waxing it for the nth time, you know, and everything. He said, and all of a sudden, God spoke to his heart and told him, said, Keith, said, if you don't quit spending so much time on this car, you're going to make me regret I ever let you have it. I don't want God to say that about me. I don't want to have stuff that causes me to treat people bad. Where, like, if Scotty got in my car with them shoes on, he's been the cow pasture in, that would try to upset me. What are you doing? I know y'all don't. Travis, when he was little, which I had a problem with anger, so he spilled the milk, and everybody goes, you spilled the milk in the floor. Get that up. And he'd be like, I can't see it. And I'd grab him by the neck. Right there it is. Can't you see it? I know none of y'all never did. And he tells his kids these stories, and he's got the whiplash, and I mean, just on and on and on, you know. I mean, it's dramatic. But I did do that. But my point to the whole thing is, I should never let anything that I have cause me to treat people bad or wrong or think I'm more than or higher than. Because I know where all the stuff come from. And I know, I told y'all about my two little brown paper bags that all my stuff fit in and we would take off. I don't have brown, I can't even find brown paper bags anymore. We got so much stuff. It's Scotty's stuff, my stuff. I am, what do you call them? I don't know what they call some of them. Those that like a lot of stuff, what do they call them? I am what they call a minimalist. What is the other word for the ones that wants all the stuff? Y'all remember? No, it's not hoarder, it's something else. But anyway, I mean, we might would say hoarder. But yeah, I'm a minimalist. I don't take me much. If it ever took me much, I would have not have lived with him. I mean, I had nothing. And I was just as fine with all that. I got to be just as fine if I have all that and if I don't have all that. I got to treat people the same as if I have all that and I don't have all of that. Just notice what he says here in this verse. He says that they be not high-minded. How many knows a lot of high-minded Christians? Not good. And you realize you can be high-minded and not have anything? Yeah. I remember a kid told a story one time about his grandparents. He said they lived in a little three-room shack. He said, really, just three rooms. He said, it'd be so cold. He said, you can't move in the winter because grandma, she just pile all the cover on you, you know, because everybody freezing. He said, but they was the most hospitable people. He said, they'd have family members over, like a family reunion or whatever, and go in there and cook. And said, grandpa would come in there and say, we got beans and pone. Eat it or leave it alone. All y'all just stay tonight. He said, where we go to sleep? Well, just pile up there on the floor. But then you've got other people, they've got a 15-room house. Can't invite nobody over because, God forbid, they might dirty up the sheets. Y'all not saying nothing. That's what he's saying. Don't be high-minded. Because at any second, it could all be taken away. Or God could require it all of you. Not to punish you in any way like that. But how many knows, God will not allow something to mean more to you than him. He'll start putting his finger on it. And then you either got to deal with that, get your heart right, or get rid of it. But he says, charge them that they be not high-minded. Notice this, nor trust in uncertain riches. How many knows money is absolutely uncertain? He says, but in the living God. And when we get there, I say, I do. He says, who giveth us richly, notice, richly all things to enjoy. God doesn't have a problem with me having anything. I mean, that's not ungodly. Y'all know what I'm saying, right? He doesn't have a problem with me having a new car, a brand new car, or a brand new house, or whatever the case may be. But it's all about the heart with God. And if this stuff starts causing you to treat people differently or God not to be first, then you're going to have to do something about it. But he says 18, all things richly to enjoy. He says that they do good, that they be rich in what? Good works. He says what? Ready to do what? Distribute. That word distribute, verse 18 in the Amplified says, charge them to do good, to be rich in good works, to be liberal and generous of heart, ready to share with others. Y'all remember the story that Jesus told about the woman? He's watching them while they're coming and putting in their alms. And the Pharisees and different ones come in, they put in their alms, you know, and they put in an abundance and everything. And here's this little widow woman, she puts in what she puts in. And Jesus, I'm paraphrasing, Jesus tells them, says, look at her. She put in more than everybody there. But when you counted it, it was the least amount. But he told him, he said, she put in there everything that she had. See, I can make myself feel good by throw a little money over here, give my tithe, you know, give something to my neighbor. But do I ever give till it hurts? You ever give till it hurts? Scotty says, yeah. Sometimes God will have you give till it hurts. It's called a sacrifice, in case you didn't know. But he'll cause you to give till it hurts. Because, see, I can make myself better. I could think I'm generous. I could think I'm liberal. But what does he think about me? And what is my testimony with other people? I'm telling you, all the way from the little lady that lives on 49 over there to John Ross, my neighbor John Ross, J&H Automotive is down there, at least to right there. If something shows up on their doorstep, or some vegetables or anything, a box they wasn't expecting. My neighbor down the road, one time him and his wife, now they're not saved, and they pulled up there, and Scotty had took, I don't remember, some peaches, something down there, and set it on their doorstep. They wasn't home. They pulled up, and his wife said, what the blank is that? And he said, I bet you that Scotty Weston's been down here. Why would they say that? Do you have that kind of testimony? And even greater. Do you have that kind of testimony among people? I remember one time that somebody on Facebook was kind of blasting Scotty a little bit and everything, you know, because he says stuff about money and things sometimes, you know, post scriptures on Facebook about money and different things or whatever, you know, so they're kind of getting on him about it. And it was like God just had everybody he had ever helped nearly that's on Facebook start saying something. One of them, you know, they don't live here, used to go to church here, but don't live here anymore, and they said, Brother Scotty gave me my first car. Another one said, Brother Scotty did this for me. Brother Scotty, do you have that kind of testimony? Because he's saying here, charge them that they have this kind of testimony, that they be liberal, that they be generous of heart. Nothing wrong with things, but you can't ever let the things get you. That was the problem with the rich young ruler. See, he couldn't even be born again. He wanted to. He wanted to follow Jesus, so he thought. And he told Jesus, he said, what must I do to receive eternal life? And Jesus told him what? He said, go sell all that you got, give it to the poor, and come follow me. Bible says he left sad. Why was he so sad? Because he can't see himself getting rid of his stuff and following Jesus. There's many, many people like that today. There has been people, and it's been a long time, so you ain't going to know who I'm talking about. There has been people that I know personally that has come to this church before, a man and a woman shacking up just because they'll cut off her check if they get married. Y'all better hear what I'm telling you. If that ain't the love of money, I don't know what is. You're telling me you can't obey God and get married? And God can't provide more than the government can? But no, we've got to have that money. We've got to, see, it applies to every area of life. It doesn't matter what the area is. And he goes on here, gosh, I'm about to have to stop. He goes on here, and y'all remember last week in Matthew, we read where you can't serve two masters. You'll love the one, hate the other, and all that. And he said, lay up treasures for yourselves in heaven. He says here that they be willing to communicate. Verse 19, laying up in store for themselves a good foundation against the time to come that they may lay hold on eternal life. Now he said over there in Matthew, he said, store up for yourselves treasures in heaven. He just told us how we do that. By being generous and liberal, he says, laying up in store for themselves, right? That they be ready to distribute. Let's look at, if it's have to stop, I just got a couple of minutes. We just quoted that one. Let's look at Luke 12 right quick. This will have to be our last one. So, I'm building all this stuff and buying all this stuff for y'all so y'all can come over if y'all are nice. Listen, and I'm kind of like Mac, and I don't mean it in a bad way, and I don't think he does. I'm going to have to be in the mood for you. I am where I am. I'm going to have to be in the mood for you. So if it ain't every weekend, don't get your feelings hurt. I got to be in the mood. But here in Luke 12, that's Mark. That's why I ain't looking right. I love you, but after being with you a little while, I'm kind of like Mac now. I need to be alone. Luke 12, verse 13, we're going to start in. And one of the company said unto him, Master, speak to my brother that he divide the inheritance with me. How many of y'all see a family member die and they are just, the whole family is in chaos over the possession of the parents or whoever that it was that died? Don't do that. My mama has a will, and I'm going to abide by it just like what I promised I would. But I will never, and you might say, well, you can't. Yes, I can say that. Why? Because I make up my own heart and mind of what I choose to do. I will never, ever argue with my brother and sister about anything that my mama leaves about any of us. My mama ain't got nothing I want. You better hear me. Y'all too quiet. Your mama, your daddy, your cousin, whoever, better not have nothing you want. Because anything you want that you got a strong desire for has the potential to take you down. That'll cause you to fuss and fight and argue and be greedy and do people wrong. And that's what this guy's saying here. Tell him to divide the inheritance with me. And he goes on, and Jesus said, and he said unto him, Man, who made me a judge or a divider over you? And he said unto them, Take heed. What's that mean? Beware. He says, and beware of what? Covetousness. You may not think this is a problem, and it might not be for you right now. But if it's not for you, it's coming down the road. It is thorny ground. And the word covetousness, I looked it up in this very verse. It says, covetousness is an insatiable, that means it can't be quenched, in other words, desire for worldly gain. That's covetousness. And the Bible tells us all over we have to guard against that as Christians. He says, against covetousness, for a man's life consists not in the abundance of the things which he possesses. He told them a parable, saying, The land of a rich man was fertile and yielded plentifully, and he considered, and I'm reading this in Amplified. 17, and he considered and debated within himself, What shall I do? In other words, he's did good. He got raises. He's been blessed and prospered all year, right? And he said, I will do this. Well, let me go back to 17. I'm sorry. I'm trying to hurry. And he considered and debated within himself, What shall I do? I have no place in which to gather together my harvest. And he said, I will do this. I will pull down my storehouses and build larger ones. And there I will store all my grain or produce and my goods. And I will say to my soul, So you have many good things laid up, enough for many years. Take your ease, eat, drink, and enjoy yourself merrily. But God said to him, You fool. Anytime we're like this, we're a fool. As he goes on and he says, You fool. He says, This very night they, the messengers of God, will demand your soul of you, and all the things that you have prepared, whose will they be? All this stuff you're working so hard for and hoarding up and keeping and got to build a bigger barn and make a bigger house to put all of your stuff in, whose is it going to be when you leave? And what did you exchange for all that stuff? He says here, he said, They'll demand of you and all the things that you have prepared, whose will they be? So it is with the one who continues to lay up and hoard possessions for himself and is not rich in his relation to God. This is how he fares. That's not going to be me. Every one of us will have to determine in our own hearts and minds that it will not be me, that it will not be you. That whatever I tell Travis a lot, because he says something about his inheritance, and that's his house, and just yada, yada, yada. I don't even listen to his junk, but anyway, tells me this mine, you know, because of the will or whatever, and I tell him, No. I'm going to spend all my money right now on me. You're going to get my stuff, but I'm going to spend all my money. I'm not leaving nothing for you as far as that goes. Why? Because I can't take it with me. So I better enjoy it while I'm here, and I better be good to people with it. Amen? I've got to stop because our time is up. Does anybody want to share anything quickly on this before we close or anything? Gosh, that's the second time I brought